Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Quinle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall. 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org. Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Quinle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall. 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.
Well, let's lift our hands to the Most High God and bless His holy name. Let's give Him glory, let's give Him honor, let's give Him adoration. Let Him hear your voice praising Him. Let Him hear your voice adoring Him. Let Him hear you telling Him you love Him, you appreciate Him. Give Him all glory, give Him all honor, give Him all adoration. Bless His holy name. Bless the King of Kings, bless the Lord of Lords. Bless the Ancient of Days. Bless the Everlasting Father. Magnify His holy name. Magnify His holy name. Praise Him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, please remember me for good tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty. Lord, remember me tonight. Remember me for good. Everlasting Father, remember me for good tonight. Remember me, O Lord. Remember me for good. Almighty God, remember me for good tonight. Ancient of Days, remember me for good tonight. Please, Lord, remember me for good tonight. Unchangeable Lord, remember me for good tonight. The one who speaks and it is done, remember me for good tonight. Please remember me for good tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Then you lift your voice to Him and say, Father, please help me fulfill my destiny. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty. Father, please help me to fulfill my destiny. Don't let me fall short of the destiny you have for me. Please, Lord, help me to fulfill my destiny. Help me to fulfill my destiny. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For His mercy endureth forever. Amen. For His mercy endureth forever. Amen.
Forever. Amen. For His
Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the Holy One of Israel, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for all you've done during this convention. Thank you for what you did on Wednesday. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you for what you are doing now. Thank you for what you will do before we get out of here. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Eternal Rock of Ages, tonight, speak to us. Send your word. Heal tonight. Deliver tonight. Set free tonight. Let there be miracles tonight. Let there be salvation tonight. Let there be joy tonight. Let there be breakthroughs tonight. And Father, please bless Canada. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And let someone shout hallelujah. Shake hands with two or three people and tell them God is about to surprise you. And if you believe that, then put your hands together for the Almighty. And you may please be seated. I want to thank the Almighty God for that great message from Bishop Brown. That was fantastic, sir. You know, we live in an age when preachers will run up and down the stage for 1 hour, and at the end of the day you say, what has he said? Here you see a man of God who spoke for about 30 minutes and is giving you solid meat to take back home. Aren't you blessed? Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sir. I had to suspend my prayer a little in the prayer room when I began to hear what the great man of God has to share. I said, I can't miss this one. And I want you to know, sir, you have an open invitation to come to Nigeria. Anytime that is convenient for you, you'll be welcome. And please come with your wife. Glory be to God. Before we go into the Word of God, because I don't know exactly where God is leading us tonight, all I know is it's going to be very glorious. I have a group of people that I call my covenant partners. These are people who help the work that I do all over the world. By the grace of God, the Redeemed Christian Church of God is in 185 nations of the world. And there are some people who have committed themselves into helping me in doing what I have to do. I call them covenant partners. They are in seven categories. All of them have an assignment to fast and pray 3 days in the month for me. When I say 3 days, I'm not saying three continuous days. Because I know to say that in Canada, we'll be asking for almost impossible. But these people fast from morning to evening, 3 days in a month, to pray that God will supply my strength, protect me as I travel. I spend more time, far, far more time away from home than I do at home. And I eat anything they give me. So God has to protect me so that I don't eat poison. And they pray that the anointing will not run dry. And more than anything else, they pray that I will finish well and finish strong. But then in addition to praying, they are committed to assisting me on a monthly basis. And this is where the grouping comes. Group one are those who said, who assist with $10 a month. Group two are those who say we can go a step further than that and give $100 a month. Group three are those who say we can afford $500 a month. Group four are those who say we can assist with $1,000. Group $5,000. Group 6, 10,000. Group 7, 50,000. And you say, ah, there are such people. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. At least we said we clearly state the groups. And you never can tell, you might belong to group 7. There are several people who started off in group 1 but have graduated. Because the moment they begin, God begins to open the windows of heaven and begin to bless them. So if you want to be one of my partners, I think the ushers will pass to you, could be a plain sheet of paper, and you just write your name, the address, the group you want to belong to, and I think you contact the pastor here, and they'll be able to give you instructions as to how to proceed. On my own part, what I do for my partners is I pray for them every day. Every blessed day. When we started this group, when I was 60 years old, I asked them to commit to support me for 10 years. And I assured them that within those 10 years, none of them would die. So when I became 70, the Almighty God said that I practically tied his hands for 10 years. Because not a single one of my partners died in those 10 years. Not one. So, timidly, I reduced the number of years to 3. And then, as you know very well, I became 73 in March. By the grace of God, still none of my partners had died. And so, if we are committing to being my partner, well, maybe for another period of 3 years, I can guarantee you in the name that's above every other name, my God will preserve you. Okay. So if you need, if you want to be a covenant partner, if you wave your hand, the ushers will give you a sheet of paper, maybe just a little bit. Just write your name, how you can be contacted, and what group you want to belong to, and we'll get in contact with you. God bless you. Now, how many of you are attending a Holy Ghost night for the first time? Let me see your hand. This is your very first time. All right. Quite a few of you. Okay, well, because there are some of you who are coming for the first time, then I need to explain one or two things very quickly so that we can all move together in the same wavelength as we proceed. Whenever God wants to talk to a group of people, no matter how many, he addresses himself to individuals. For example, when he was talking to a whole congregation in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice," any man, and yet he was addressing the entire congregation. So God is always saying, I'm talking to an individual. So as we continue tonight, I believe most sincerely that you are likely to hear that there is someone here. And at the end of the day, that someone might turn out to be 100 people or more. Don't think I've made a mistake. That's the way God speaks. For example, there is someone here tonight who will never weep again. Yeah. Where is that someone? Yeah. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Yeah. Second thing you need to note as we continue tonight is that the Holy Spirit flows like a river. When Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples, he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the Bible says by this he meant the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost flows like a river. Now those of us who came from villages, that might be a bit difficult for those of you town people. When we go to the river to get water for use in the village, when it is your turn to dip your bucket into the river and bring out water, if you hesitate, the river won't wait for you. It will just flow on. So if as we continue tonight, you doze off, or you begin to think of the rice you left at home, and then suddenly God mentions your case and say, "There is someone here," and the fellow sitting next to you says, "Amen." And then you wake up and say, "What did he say?" By then it will be too late. So tell your neighbor, make sure you don't doze. Okay. Then the third thing you need to know is that in some restaurants, particularly in this part of the world, they have what they call the buffet. As when everybody comes in, you pay the same amount, and they say, "Eat all you can." I'm sure you know one or two of such. And then they set the table with all manners of food, all manners of meat, and so on. And then some people will come in there, they pay the same amount as everybody else, and they take one little spoon of rice, one little chicken, and I always wonder, why are these people here? Because when I go to such a restaurant, by the time I leave, they will know somebody had visited them. I think there are one or two people like me here. The reason I'm telling you that is that tonight the Lord has set a table before you. On the table there is salvation, there is healing, there's deliverance, there's fruitfulness, there's promotion. There are all manners of miracles. How much of it are you going to take? Okay. Finally, before we move on, when you go through the scriptures, you discover that almost everyone who got a miracle from God got it by faith. When they come to Jesus Christ for healing or something, they will ask them, "Do you believe I can do this?" If they say, "Yes, we believe it," will then say, "Be it unto you according to your faith." Or you may say, "Your faith has made thee whole." I want to assure you brothers and sisters, that God is here tonight. How do I know? Because it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there. Now we are more than two or three, and we are gathered together in his name. Second reason I know is that, with all humility, I brought him with me. I'm saying that one because when he was calling me into full-time ministry, he made me just one promise. He said, wherever you go, I will go with you. So I'm here now, so I'm sure he's here with me. And so miracles are bound to happen when God is visiting. The question is, when do you want your miracles? Are you going to get your own tonight? Then let me hear you shout hallelujah. Good. Now we are ready to roll. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ has many names. And it just seemed that he loved names. Each time you meet him, he will introduce himself to you by a different name. Today he may say, I am the Word of God. Next time you see him, he will say, I am the Lamb of God. Next time you see him, he will say, I am the Door of the Sheep. Occasionally, we combine two names. I'm the resurrection and the life. At times, it will combine three. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then here, in the passage we read, we found that even before he was born, his father gave him five names. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Later on, after he left the world and he was talking to John on the island of Patmos, he announced eight names. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. The Almighty. He has many names. And you wonder, why so many names? Well, because each name is important. Each name has something attached to it. And tonight, even though we want to talk about the Everlasting Father, we will just start from the top. Mention briefly the importance of the names before the Everlasting Father. And for those of you who are able to make it, if you come to the American Convention, then you will learn about the last name, the Prince of Peace. Name number one, Wonderful. Now, wonderful is a combination of two words, wonder and fool. So, wonderful means full of wonders. Now, what do we mean by wonder? The simplest way to describe wonder is, like somebody said, something that causes you to wonder. In other words, astonishing miracles. Miracles that when they happen, your mouth would drop open involuntarily. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, Exodus 15, verse 11, the Bible talks about him and says, "Who is like unto thee, O God? Who is like unto thee among other gods? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders." In Daniel chapter 6, verse 25 to 27, Daniel 6, verse 25 to 27, a heathen king said, "There is no God like the God of Daniel, that he does wonders in heaven as well as on earth." So I'm confident that because his name is wonderful, somebody will go home with a wonder tonight. He can do wonders of healing. Like in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14, he not just cured Naaman of his leprosy. The Bible said he gave him a brand new skin. In other words, the man went into River Jordan with sores all over his body. But when God healed him, there were no scars to show where he had been sick. And that's why I'm believing God for someone here tonight. Even though doctors might have said that you are incurable, by the time you go for another test, they will say wonderful. He can perform wonders of provision. Like in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. It tells you the story of a widow, the widow of Zarephath, who had just one meal left. And the Almighty God spoke through his servant and said, "If you put me first, I will make sure that the more you take out of the barrel of flour and the pot of oil, the more you will find already waiting there for you." And for almost 3 years, food just kept on multiplying. They call it wonders of provision. Or you can take the example in John chapter 6, verse 5 to 13. John 6, 5 to 13. When a young boy gave him 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes, and he thanked God and he began to break. The Bible said after he fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, they still took up 12 baskets extra from a boy's lunch. Now that's wonders of provision. Which is the reason why I believe that there might be someone here tonight who is heavily in debt, and long before the end of this year, in a way you can't explain, you'll be debt free. I have several stories to tell you because I think some of these things are only things that happen just in Bible times and that they are no longer happening. You'll be mistaken because this wonderful God is still performing wonders. Now, I give you one. You may find it difficult to believe, but it doesn't matter. Each time I tell some wonderful stories, I love to tell the people that they should know that liars will not go to heaven. And so I won't tell you a lie because the first thing I want to do is make it to heaven. It's after I'm in there that I will ask you to come and join me. I won't push you in first and then begin to wonder whether I will make it. My father in the Lord, the founder of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, when the church was very small and things were very, very hard, said, God spoke to him one day and said, "Tell your wife." The wife had just prepared a pot of soup. He said, "Tell your wife just to keep on dishing from that pot, but never to look inside." So he passed the information to the wife. And the wife began to obey. And she would discover, "Today, when I dish from the pot, chicken will be out. Tomorrow, when I dish from the pot, it will be fish. Next time, it will be beef." And this went on for days. And then one day she became overcome by curiosity. And she looked inside and the pot was empty. There is a God who can provide something out of nothing. That God who brought water out of the rock is going to supply all your needs. And then, of course, he can perform wonders of deliverance. In Exodus chapter 14, if you read it from verse 13 to 28, Exodus 14 from verse 13 to 28, the Bible tells us that when the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, and they looked behind them, they saw a great army, the army of Pharaoh, the greatest army in the world at that time, marching after them. And they were so afraid. And then Moses told them, he said, take a good look at this army, because this is the last time you will ever see them. And they didn't know exactly what that one meant. Could it mean that before tomorrow we will all be dead? Because they couldn't see how they could possibly overcome that army. But you know the rest of the story. By the time the sun rose the following morning, the entire army was already drowned. Which is why I'm sure that whatever may be the problems you brought here today, this is the last time you ever see them. One of the miracles of deliverance that each time I remember, I see, even as close to God as I am, I see tremble, is that of one of my sons who was attacked by either highway robbers or hired assassins. We never found out. But they shot him point blank 6 times. The bullets went through the shirt. And he brought the shirt when he was showing the, when he was sharing the testimony. 6 bullets went through the front of the shirt, came out from the back of the shirt, and there was not a scratch on the one wearing the shirt. Now that's the God I'm talking about. Now when you have somebody perform such a miracle for you, there's only one thing you can say, and that is wonderful. And I have good news for someone here tonight. From tonight onward, the kind of miracles that will cause people to say wonderful will be common in your life. So his first name here is Wonderful. The second name, of course, is Counselor. Now, a counselor is someone you go to when you have a problem you cannot solve. So by definition, a counselor is someone who is wiser than you. Someone who can get you out of a tight corner. And there is no one like the Almighty, Jesus Christ, when it comes to wisdom. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, the Bible says that he's the one who gives wisdom to the wise, because wisdom belongs to him. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, James 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, that he will give to you liberally. In other words, if you have a problem that you cannot solve, you go to him, and he, being the counselor, will show you the way out. A classical example is found in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, the old chapter. A king slept in his palace, had a dream. By the time he woke up, he had forgotten the dream. But he knew that the dream was very significant. So he summoned all his wise men and said, I want you to give me the interpretation of my dream. And they all said, that's fine, sir. Tell us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. He said, I've forgotten the dream. How do we interpret a dream that we don't even know? He said, now I've caught you. You call yourself wise men. If I tell you my dream, you can always give me any kind of interpretation. Now we will find out if you are truly wise. Tell me my dream and tell me the interpretation, or you are all dead. And in those days, kings were kings. They could kill you by just looking at you. And Daniel happened to be one of the wise men. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel went to the king and said, just give us 24 hours. We have someone who is called the counselor. He will tell us your dream, and he will tell us the interpretation. And you know the rest of the story. Before day broke, God had revealed the dream as well as the interpretation to Daniel. Now, that's what we call counselor. There might be one or two people here today, and you have a difficult decision. You don't even know what to do. I have good news for you. Before tomorrow morning, you will know what to do. And I can give you an example from my own life. Some of you have had me share the testimony. When I was doing my PhD program, way back in the early 1970s. When you are doing a PhD program in mathematics, you are to solve a problem nobody had ever solved before. Now, because it's a problem nobody has solved before, nobody knows whether it has a solution. All right, so it is. If you solve it, you get a PhD. You fail to solve it, you get nothing. For 18 months, I've been working on this problem. And I ended up with 186 simultaneous equations. Those of you who did any mathematics at all, you know you have problems with two simultaneous equations. So you can imagine what I was facing with 186. It got to say I didn't even know what to do. Now, and to abandon this one means to go and pick another problem that nobody had ever solved before, that nobody knows whether it has a solution. So one night, as I looked at all the problem again, I was completely confused. I got fed up. I said I will go and sleep. And then, as was my custom, I decided to study my Bible before I go to bed. And I just happened to study the crossing of the Red Sea. As I was reading that story again, suddenly God spoke to me. I said, that is the solution to your problem. God will speak to somebody here tonight. And I said, how? How can the crossing of the Red Sea several thousands of years ago be the solution of a mathematical problem in 1974? And the Lord said, go and bring your equations. Quickly, I brought the thing and began to show me, put this equation on the left, put this one on the right, put this one on the left, put this one on the right. By the time I finished, suddenly I saw that all those on the left had something in common. All those on the right had something in common. And he says, solve the one on the left separately, the one on the right separately, and then combine. He said, that's what happened at the Red Sea. The sea parted. The children of Israel passed through. And the water came together again. 5 hours later, my PhD thesis was ready. Because God solved the problem for me. He will solve the problem for you. And then the third name is Mighty God. Now, when we talk about mighty, we're talking about not just ordinarily powerful, really, really powerful. But this Mighty God is a combination of two words again, mighty and God. It's not mighty man, because a mighty man is limited. No matter how strong he is, he's limited by strength. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, you have this recurrent ailment that had defied drugs. Just keep coming back, coming back. The Lord asked me to tell you, you will never hear of it again. Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28 to 31, tells us that it is only God who is never tired, who is never weary. He said, even young men, no matter how strong they are, they will wax faint, they will get tired, and they will need for the Almighty God to renew their strength if they wait on Him. Mighty men are limited by sleep. No matter how mighty you are, you can be the head of state of the greatest nation in the world, you still must sleep. But there is a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. That's why they call Him Mighty God. Mighty men are limited by death. Sooner or later, they will die. It doesn't matter how many doctors they have looking after them, but there is a God who lives forever. And in any case, God said in Psalm 62 verse 11, Psalm 62 verse 11, He said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. There's one fellow who thought that he could challenge God when it comes to power. He said that when he's speaking, God should keep quiet. You can read about him in Acts of the Apostles chapter 12. Read from verse 20 to 23. He was speaking and some people said, this is the voice of God. He said, now you know who is talking. And the Almighty God said, is that so? He said, well, let me summon an army. Not an army of men, but an army of worms. The king fell down from his throne before he hit. The implications are many, but I will take only one, and that is that any dream and vision that God had given you will surely come to pass. It may take time, but because you have the everlasting Father supporting you, that dream will come to pass. And I can give you two examples quickly before I close. I've told the story of one of them before. I will be telling you a second one. Some of you have never had the second one before. The first one happened in, I think, in 1951. I was very small, and by now you have a rough idea of what my village looked like, so you know how small it must be in 1951. At that time, as far as I could remember, there were only five people in the town that had anything you could call shoes. Five people. The traditional ruler, he had one. The village headmaster, he had a tennis shoe. And three others. And so then the bishop, the Anglican bishop of the diocese that covered the place, decided to visit a little church, Anglican church in town. And he came. And those of us in the primary school, we lined the route to give him a welcome. The hunters, the village hunters, they didn't go to farm. When he was come, they were firing their dingoes. Some of you don't know what dingoes are, but something you have to put gunpowder into and push the thing down, and it makes quite a big noise. So the village hunters, they lined the route too. They were firing their dingoes. The drummers were beating the drum. And then the bishop came. Oh God, he came in a brand new car. He was dressed in the robe of the bishop. And when I look at his feet, the shoes were black and shining. I've never seen anything like this before. It was the first time I saw a car. In those days, only two lorries came to my village. And then people were singing and dancing. And when it was time for him to go, all the farmers began to bring their produce. They brought eggs. And in those days, we ate egg only during Easter. And they bought a basket full of eggs and chicken and goats. When I got home that day, I told my mother, I am going to be a bishop. That was 1951. And then, of course, I grew up and I left home and I forgot everything about going to church. Just dropped out completely. But then somewhere along the line, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. And as things happened, by 1981, I became General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. So, I decided to visit the little churches that we had then. And one day, it was the turn of my village. And I drove in a brand new car. I drove in, I was wearing black shoes, highly polished. The school children lined the route. The village hunters were firing their guns. The drummers were beating their drums. And suddenly I remembered 1951. That's why I'm prophesying to someone here today. Your dream shall come to pass. I tell you another one. Don't worry, I'm about to close. I know that people in America don't like long sermons. If it were in Africa, they would say, please don't stop. Don't worry. 1985, my wife and I went to Seoul in Korea because we heard that the man with the largest church in the world at that time was David Yonggi Cho. And so we wanted to find out what's his secret, because our church wasn't growing. So we got there, we listened to lectures. Finally, he took us to his prayer mountain. And there's a mountain with holes dug into it. And so you crawl into the hole and go there to pray. And he explained to us that the secret of his success is prayer. When I left the place, I made up my mind, by the grace of God, there will be a prayer mountain in Nigeria. Because people were coming from all over the world, and it will be of international standard. My wife said, amen. We got home, we looked for a mountain to buy. We couldn't afford the money they were asking. Anyway, to cut a long story short, finally we found one near my village and we bought it. But then, where's the money to develop it? I thought it would be ready before I was 50. Nothing was done. I thought it would be ready before I was 60. Nothing was done. When I was approaching 70, I looked at my wife. I said, this mountain. Because when a man is over 70, any year he spent is extra time. Something had to be done. So I committed the matter into her hand. And I pray for all of you who are married. May God give you a good wife. If your wife is not good, may God turn her to a good wife. And those of you who are yet to marry, in the name that's above every other name, the Almighty God will give you a good wife. I turned the project over to my wife, and of course, she sprang into action. And about a week ago now, that prayer mountain that I dreamt about in 1985 had finally been commissioned. I don't know what your dream is. I don't know how big it is. I don't know if you are already losing hope that the dream will ever come to pass. But because you came tonight, in the name that's above every other name, your dream shall come to pass. Thank you, Father. Conclusion. I told you at the beginning that when God is speaking, he addresses himself to individuals. And I referred you to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door unto me, I will come in unto him. I will dine with him, and he will dine with me." The everlasting Father has come to Toronto. And he's looking for an individual that he will bless. He's looking for an individual to whom he will prove himself to be wonderful. He's looking for an individual who needs wisdom, who needs a counselor. He's looking for an individual who needs the mighty God, an individual who has some impossibilities in his or her life that God wants to turn to possibilities. He's looking for someone who needs a father, not an ordinary father, but an everlasting father. And I believe he will find one here tonight. That's why I want to make an appeal. You see, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 1, or the word of God says in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He said, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called sons of God." If you are here tonight and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you are not yet a child of God. But if you give your life to him, if you will say bye-bye to a life of sin, if you will say welcome to a life of holiness, a life of purity, he's ready to make you one of his children. And I'm telling you, there's no better father than the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are here tonight and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, but you want to join the family of God, you want God to become your father, the everlasting father, I'm going to count from 1 to 7. Before I say 7, you must come and stand before me so I can pray for your salvation. And from today onward, you'll be able to call God my father. Several years ago, I began to call God Daddy. And some of my colleagues in Nigeria rebuked me. And they said, "Why are you calling God Daddy? Bible says our Father which art in heaven." I said, "Thank you very much. To you is a father. To me is a daddy. He's personal to me." If you are here tonight and you have not yet made him your personal savior, your own personal daddy, and you want to do so, please come. There's already someone already in front. The rest of you can come as I begin to count now. 1, 2. Remember, he may be talking to only one person. The choice is yours. You come, you give your life to him, he will forgive all your sins, and he will give you a brand new beginning. 3. It doesn't matter what is in your source before. It doesn't matter what's in your family before. If you come to him now, he's ready to forgive you. He's ready to
Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org. Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org. Right.